everyone, I'm Janelle Pizarro.
And I'm Frederick Philip Von Weiss, and thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology
that love what they do and do tech good.
Welcome, everybody. We're at Event Orlando, Event Apart in Orlando, rather. We're with Jason Palmetto.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Good. Yeah. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. I know you're a busy guy this week.
Well, I've got till Wednesday morning to be nervous. So, like right now, like the next couple of days, it's more just taking it in, enjoying it.
Is it more difficult, like waiting your turn, or would you rather have gotten it over like Monday at like 9?
True confession.
Yeah.
This is a super intimidating conference to be speaking at.
Sure.
I mean, this is like kind of, you know, it's sort of a bucket list thing.
Oh,
the
nice.
First time was in April in Seattle, and I was in the second to last time slot on the third day, and I was just sweating bullets the entire time.
Oh,
yeah.
My wife was there with me. I mean, it was fantastic. It was awesome, and it went well.
Yeah.
But man, you want to do well. An event like this,
of course,
everybody's here to see like the best people in the business, and then me.
Yeah.
And so like to get the chance to be up there and do that, that's awesome.
Well, obviously you were invited because you are one of those said
the best people.
That's I know that's a high responsibility to hold on one's shoulders, but there you are.
It's taken a while. I mean, I've been doing conference talks since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Jeffrey and Eric for a long time. One of the first conferences I ever went to was an Event Apart in Boston in 2009.
Oh, wow. So right. Well, no, they started in 2006. So yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was pretty early and HTML5 was just becoming a thing, and Jeremy Keith was there talking about it, and then just had all these just amazing speakers there. And, you know, that's what we all aspire to, right? You know, we just want to like do the best that we can do in our little corner of the web. And it's cool to have that, you know, have the chance to show everybody else what you've been doing.
Yeah.
And like, you're fantastic because you're the only person speaking about typography today. So that's not today, but like on Wednesday. That's amazing. That's not something that we get to hear often about like typography. So tell us about your talk, like little pinpoints.
And it's variable fonts and the future of typography.
Yeah.
So I've always loved type. I studied graphic design and really kind of fell in love with what I could do with typefaces and but I was also working on the web at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I started working on the web in the like 1994, and you couldn't really do anything with type really for like 15 years. And so there was there were a few things in there, but we just don't really want to talk about them because they were awesome.
Yeah, I could use PHP and bring in my font and make a thing.
It's like I'd make a flash movie and embed the typeface in that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know. Really
the straight up depression on your face.
Yeah. Super like, accessibility.
Oh, it was awful. So Typekit launched, and it was a total like reinvention of designing for the web for me. I started researching it and writing about it, and just offering to help as many people as I could. And that turned into an opportunity to write for fonts.com.
Wow.
And
nice.
And that turned into then getting my, one of my like second or third conference talk was about web typography. And that's been almost the only thing I've talked about ever since. I'm a little bit one note that way, but that's the thing, is like not many people talk about it. And
yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
super important for people to know about it and understand typography and understand how to implement it. And the thing, so in over 20 years of working on the web, responsive design was probably one of the biggest changes in sort of like major inflection point. I think in a lot of ways, in how we think about design, like we have to think in proportion, not in specific, so that we understand those relationships as the screen size changes, and type is no different.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the parallel that I felt we all needed to know more about. And so that's why I started to write about it and talk about it. Like, how do you scale type on these different size devices in order to guide people around, to show them what's important, where, and fit. So if you don't make the heading smaller on a smaller screen, then it's cramped and crowded and the word breaks are awful and you have like one word per line and it's just kind of ugly. Or worse, it breaks the words. So, you know, those kinds of things, just to be considerate about it, I think were super important. And so the next thing for me personally was 2 years ago seeing the introduction of variable fonts.
Yeah, this is really amazing stuff.
Yeah, so everything that we've been doing about layout scaling, we can actually do with the typeface itself. So instead of having all of these different widths and weights in separate files, you have one file and you can CSS to say make it really narrow or make it really wide or make it thin or really heavy, whatever the typeface designer included in that typeface. So they don't all have every different axis of variation, but there are lots. And I'll have a bunch of typefaces to show people that you can do all kinds of really interesting things to have this one file asset that could go from, 20% wide to 150% wide, you know, based on like the normal character.
And if you don't mind explaining to some of the people that don't understand that concept of, well, I have to download five different versions of this font and why that might not be considered the most optimal solution.
Right. So, shame on me, totally glossed over that. Traditionally, if you wanted to have a typeface like, real world example, Avenir Next. Beautiful classic typeface from Monotype. If you wanted to have every width of that and every thickness and the italics, you would have to download 32 files.
Jeez Louise.
Wow.
And no one would ever do that on the web. They would say, okay, we'll have regular, we'll have bold, we'll have italic, bold, italic, fine. Maybe we'll have one for heading. So that's it. And that's the design language you have. And then all you can do from there is then just it's regular, it's bold, and change the text size.
And that's it.
Right, and that's it. And if you think, a lot of people think that that's just fine because that's all we've ever had on the web. But if you look at the parallel in print design, it's absolutely normal for somebody to use 15 different weights and variants in a layout. So they're modulating the weight of the text and the width of it all the time to get just the right level of sort of vocal range. And instead of having the exact same weight in every level of header, they might be making it slightly lighter as it gets physically smaller so the text stays clear. You know, really heavy text at small size gets really hard to read. So instead of it being a 700 weight, maybe it's 650, maybe it's 625. And that's where you start to get some really interesting things happening. And the more files that you're replacing with that one variable font, the better performance you have because you're only downloading one asset. Yes. And even if that one asset is bigger than a single static font file, it's smaller than four, you know, typically. So like those are the kinds of things that that you want to look for. And that gives us a kind of design freedom that we've never had on the web.
Now, how easy is it to procure these fonts? Are most companies putting out these kind of fonts?
Well, so bear in mind, the format was only introduced 2 years ago, and it only started shipping in browsers 1 year ago. We only had it in all four major shipping browsers 3 weeks ago.
Jeez Louise!
So, like, it's been a fairly rapid growth and adoption from the CSS and browser perspective. Can I Use puts it over 70% now. So that's actually pretty solid. And the fonts are coming, but we're actually still, I'm not even sure there's over 100 of them yet.
Wow.
I mean, compared to tens of thousands of different typefaces available, you know, on all the other platforms. So there's a difference there. But more and more people are starting to support it and investigate it. And what I think is really exciting is it's the smaller foundries and individual designers that are adopting this faster. So we're actually seeing newer, more interesting typefaces come out. And yes, we'll have, so Avenir is coming. I have the sort of early release version of that for Monotype to show on Wednesday, along with a few others and a pretty significant announcement.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, this it's big.
An announcement.
I'm not going to tell it yet.
You have to be here.
More and more people are noticing. Monotype is starting to work on more variable fonts. Adobe recently supported Frank Grieshammer working on the italics for Source Serif Pro. So now we have Source Serif in regular and italic as a variable font. It's really beautiful. I'm actually working with that on a project now. And again, that's another one where, you know, a file, like one file, can replace six others. And it's really pretty remarkable, and it looks really good. So when you think about, for anybody who's here, we just saw Jesenia Perez-Cruz give an amazing talk about design systems that she works on at Vox Media. And when you look at it in that sort of context, where you have one font file that could then be used across a platform, to then create more design variation on different sites without having to replace the file.
Mm-hmm.
All you're doing is changing the metrics of like what you're calling for width and weight and stuff. So you can get a lot more. So I don't think we'll ever have as many fonts that are variable as there are static, but those individual fonts are going to be so much more useful,
yes,
and interesting, and have so much more variety to them that's where you'll see, I think, some real innovation where designers get really good at this, you know, these couple of variable fonts, and they can do gymnastics with them that would run rings around other people to create this really beautiful, elegant typographic hierarchy that's really just right.
Do you think somebody like Google Fonts is going to pick that up?
The format was introduced by Google, Apple, Adobe, and Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And follow the money.
Google
serves tons of fonts. Mm-hmm. Last time I heard a stat, it was almost a year ago, they were serving 26 billion instances of Open Sans a week.
Wow.
Think about their bandwidth bill.
Yeah.
And so if you think about replacing all of that with a single variable font that's cached on a CDN, something as simple as that could dramatically alter the resources required to serve fonts. And if they and so they're thinking about also subsetting and using them in advertising, and so you get more utility out of them there. All of those things taken together give them and anybody else who's serving fonts as a business a tremendous incentive to invest in that format. And then you've got all of us in the web design world that have, you know, we're looking for all of these ways to optimize performance. So if you can serve one asset instead of six, then you've got a win there. You're going to save a little bandwidth. You're going to save on another couple of HTTP requests. And then on top of that, we have the win that we can design better. So that's, you know, I always try and present both sides of that, because you have to overcome an objection,
mm-hmm,
to get people to not say no to integrating them, but then teach the designers, like, now you've got to learn about type. You've got to learn how to use it well.
Well, that's amazing. That's a really great way to not only get your company on board with like using and being familiar with type and just the concept of it, but also like saying, hey, we're gonna use it now. We're doing this because it's gonna help us, right?
Right. And so that, you know, a couple years ago we had we're working on a website that was related to, it was an offshoot of Science Magazine. The creative director for Science Magazine, award-winning designer, really phenomenal, not as in tune with the web. Mm-hmm. He gave us a design that had 13 different weights of the typeface in it. And it was a beautiful design. And mm-hmm, it was at that time completely unproducible for the web without loading like 600K of font data. And as much as I would say that is worth more than a couple of JPEGs because you're going to get more use out of it, the truth is no one would ever let us put that in practice.
Mm.
Because it is also something that gets in the way of the end user. You know, an image loading will load later. Fonts, that's harder to manage.
Right.
And so it is a little bit more of a thing that blocks the experience or it can. Doesn't have to, but that's, again, that's a whole part of the technical discussion about how you implement it. So I try and always make sure to cover both sides of that.
Yeah, I love that, because especially, like, I mean, I'm sure the user more, or our users, your users now, our listeners can probably attest to is, you know, it's hard to, like, talk to your manager, to your lead, you know, to your company and say, hey, we need to make this very small design decision, right? Like, yes, maybe it's only very small, but it could save us so much, right? And I love that, you know, you're able to say, like, okay, well, this is going to save us not only, like, bandwidth, but also, like, it's better for everybody, right? Like, that's fantastic. I mean, another thing is, what do you do, by the way, like, on your day-to-day, like, beyond just, like, be amazing at all the typography things?
You're just on podcasts all day.
Well, I do that a lot. Fonts, yeah. But that's actually... So I left the agency where I was working in the Boston area. I'm from Providence, Rhode Island. Cool. And I really wanted to focus on doing this for companies. And I've been working in the web field for a really long time. I was running an agency where I was kind of in charge of the design and strategy and development teams. And that was fun to help one organization at a time. Mm-hmm. But what I really wanted to do was try and find the opportunities, make the opportunities to work with companies on a larger scale to help them with their brand, with their performance, with their user experience, and embrace this kind of technology. And then, you know, use all the opportunities I have to come to conferences like this to kind of help people on a broader scale. So I did a bunch of work this year for some of the different font companies, for Adobe, for Monotype, and Type Network, like building demos and things for them to show off the capabilities of variable fonts. And I wrote a guide for the Mozilla Developer Network on how to implement them. So, you know, with all the other amazing MDN docs, you can go and you can read and see all the examples about how to implement it.
I'm so excited. I'm ready to read this. I'm like, when can I read this now?
it's there. It's up. It's live. And it was great. I got to work with Jen Simmons and some other really awesome people at Mozilla. And we had all this stuff prepped. And then September 5th came around and they, like, there it was. They launched Firefox 62. It had variable font support. We had the guide. We had all this other stuff. It was awesome. And they've also got this incredible font editor tool in development as part of the dev tools that's going to come out in the next release. That I'll show that as well. I'm sure Jen's going to show it today. And it actually builds all these tools into your dev tools where you select an element that is set in a variable font and it gives you all the info about it right there in your dev tools.
Oh, dude, that's nice.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
And I mean, and it's like a whole bunch of things. It shows you, you can look at the CSS, but you also can see a dropdown that has all of what are called named instances within a font. So if you're used to the idea of bold condensed or regular italic, you can select that and it will automatically move the little sliders and adjust the CSS and show you everything. But then you can also drag those sliders around so that you can see what does it look like, a little thinner, a little thicker.
Stop. Is this in Firefox Dev Edition?
Because it's in the nightly build now and it will be released. Jen will know better, but I think it's slated for the next full release, which should be, I think, in the next month.
Stop. I'm going to use it in literally 12 minutes. After this, it's going to happen.
So I'm not quite brave enough to run my talk in the nightly build, but I am going to be delivering my talk entirely within Firefox in the browser. So with all live web fonts.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Your talk is going to be fantastic.
I'm so excited. That's why I'm at 11. On this.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, yeah.
There's so much cool stuff to show.
We need to get you another amp so you could go at it another 11.
22.
But so actually one of the other things that's really cool that I can tell all of you, our dear listeners, I've got a bunch of really cool stuff from Adidas. Adidas is using variable fonts in their print work. They're not even using them on the web yet.
Wow, tell us about that.
So I got to see them give a talk about this at a typography conference in Antwerp, just a few weeks ago. Okay. And so is their head of brand and this amazing type designer, Jeremy Mickle from the LA area. And this guy, Kenneth Ormandy, that I've known for a while, is a fantastic web developer. And they've Kenneth created for them a custom plugin for using an Illustrator and I think InDesign so that they can actually use these variable fonts in their print work.
Wow.
And so they've got two. They've got Adenoia, which is basically their brand typeface, and then Adenoia Chop, which is, think sports uniform. You know, it's got like the hard angle corners and everything, but they designed these things to scale like crazy. So when you think of like a normal typeface, if you call the regular width 100%, you might see something that scales to maybe 60% of that width and maybe 120, 150%. Like there's a sort of a natural range that you see.
Yeah.
This is 1 to 1,000.
Wow. I mean,
like it's insane.
Like billboards?
They have used them on billboards and all kinds of different. I mean, it's incredible. And so there's a couple of different things that are I think really amazing about it. One is how they're using it in all of their own advertising and marketing and stuff. But Chop they use in uniform design.
Mm.
So with the variability of width,
yeah,
they can make any school's uniform look amazing.
Wow.
Because they can customize the numbers, they can fit any name in that space. And so really like what Leon, their head of brand was so excited about is that it takes this like typographic DNA and elevates it for every school. The tiniest school with the smallest budget can get these custom uniforms that look pro.
Wow.
And you know, it's not forced, it's not stretched or distorted in any way. It just looks spot on.
That's amazing.
It is.
And I mean, those schools are like super stoked about it too.
Oh my
they're
God,
getting
yeah.
like
yeah.
amazing stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So
wow.
So that stuff is really awesome. And they were kind enough to give me the web font versions of those so I can actually show some of that stuff in action.
How easy is it to actually create one of these fonts?
It's not so easy to create the font. It has to be, it really needs to be part of your design process.
Okay.
However, anybody that has been working designing typefaces in a relatively modern way,
mm-hmm.
And by that I mean if you are working in the way the tools have been designed to work in the last 10 years, as opposed to someone that's been designing type for 20 or 30 years, you're probably more in line to be somewhat more compatible. So I've had some typeface designers tell me that they went through their whole catalog in a week and made responsive or variable fonts out of them. Not that they're releasing production, but the process of getting a fair chunk of the way there was pretty quick.
Yeah.
And this guy, David Jonathan Ross, is an incredible type designer and super, super nice guy. He started this thing called Font of the Month Club. You need to check this out, fontofthemonthclub.com.
Okay.
And
we'll add a link in the show notes.
For, I don't remember, it was like $9 a month or something like that. He's been sending out a font literally every month, and almost every month he's included a variable version.
Wow.
So the main typeface in my talk on my website, it's Roslindale variable. It's awesome. I absolutely adore it. It's just a beautiful typeface. He's put out, I've been subscribing for a little over a year and have, of the 13 or 14 fonts that I have, I think at least 10 of them had a variable version.
That's
so
amazing.
So some people are getting really into it and really like jumping in with both feet. The other one that I'm not going to tell you about today, but on Wednesday, this is one of the 10 most popular web fonts of all time.
Wow.
And so this type designer was somebody I had spoken with about it. I said, have you tried? And the answer was, sort of. I asked again, and then 2 days later, I got sent a font. So,
nice.
I think all it takes is people asking. And like showing that there's actually a demand. So that's why I want to create that excitement in the web world so people ask.
That's awesome.
And that's what the rest of the industry needs to see. Because the type industry has been through a scalable font format a couple of times now, and it hasn't really taken on. But the web
sure.
didn't exist then. And now it does. And now we have a reason for this stuff to be here. That's why I'm so excited.
Does it increase the, obviously there's a lot more work that goes into creating these. Is it also going to exponentially increase the price of renting or purchasing these fonts?
So that's been everybody's question.
Yeah.
For individual type designers and foundries, their answer has been so far, in most cases, all or nothing. So you buy the whole family, we'll give you the variable font.
So nice. That's great.
That's one way to go about it.
Sure.
Other places have said, okay, we're not really sure what the market is, so we'll give this one away for free for a year.
Okay.
And so like they'll create a license that will say, you know, you can use this for free until, you know, January 1 or December 31st of 2019 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just see how many people use it. So that's more the approach that Monotype took with FF Meta. When I sort of helped them launch that, I designed a page for that to show people what they could do. It's actually hosted on CodePen. And so, you know, people can grab that and use it on their own site for a year and see what they like. And same
that's awesome.
Thing I think
okay.
is going to be true with Avenir.
Yeah.
And I knew they were working on Avenir. And like last week at another event, somebody came up and talked to me afterwards and was telling me that their company uses Avenir in their branding, and they've been really trying to standardize on that and use it everywhere. And I said, there, like, that's it. That's the opportunity right there. And so I contacted Monotype and they sent me the font and they gave me a license to give to them to play around with. And like, that's what we need. We need to create the connections where you got an excited developer. We've got somebody who's working on that typeface and a company that's their brand. There's where we can kind of create that opportunity to really showcase what we can do with them.
I love that. I love that you're an advocate for that too. That like that's amazing because I don't know about you, but for me, I definitely wouldn't have thought like, okay, type like that's cool, yeah, whatever. But like,
well, talk to me in 6 months and let's see if I'm still making.
I'm
living,
already very excited.
but honestly, that was that's what was going through my mind. Believe me, I spent the better part of a year trying to convince some of the bigger type companies to hire me to be the advocate for this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready to do that yet. So I said, maybe I can find a way to do that myself. And
you've converted me. I'm just saying, one person.
I'm sure you're going to get a few calls.
Yeah.
Well, that's the goal, is to educate, raise the awareness, and I just believe that the opportunities will follow.
When do you think it's going to be more of a mainstream kind of thing where we're going to see this like, oh, of course I could use a variable font on this?
I was hoping that this year was going to be that year.
Uh-huh.
I think I was a little ahead of myself, but I do think that it will start to become a mainstream thing in the next year. I just got to start working on a project. It's for a really awesome digital services team at a state nearby.
Mm.
And so I'm helping them with the design system and their typography. And one of the things that we're doing is looking to incorporate variable fonts in that. And they've got an amazing development team working with them. And I'm working hand in hand with them to kind of, I wrote the front end code to implement all of the little tricks about font loading management and fallbacks and incorporating the variable fonts where they're supported. So important thing to know, at supports, feature detection in CSS works great with it.
Huh.
So you can just scope your CSS, like have your normal type for all the browsers that don't support it. But then if it supports it, now call this stuff. And then you can have it only load. It's never going to load the fonts twice. It's only going to load the ones that it understands and knows it can support. And so that's why you really can put it into production right away. And for any browser that supports it, it just gets it. And there's nothing that the user has to do.
I think that alleviates a lot of trepidation.
Yes.
With people thinking about, can I actually use this?
Yep.
Do I want to use this? Am I going to call two files?
Well, and that's so it was really important to me to make sure I could prove that.
Yeah,
and so I've got a whole slew of demos up on CodePen where people can actually check it out themselves. And so
nice. Jake proof Palmetel, is in the pudding.
And that's on CodePen, a whole bunch of demos there. And One of the other nifty things is if it supports variable fonts, it will also support CSS variables or custom properties as well as calculation. And those three things together are the magic sauce.
Yeah.
Because you have this variable typeface, and then you can have this totally fluid typographic scaling system that you reset a handful of variables up top, and then your whole typographic system can scale across breakpoints, and you have much less code to write, and it's much more universal. So you don't have to touch the big hairy looking formulas. All you have to do is say, what's the smallest I want it to be? What's the biggest I want it to be? And what are the breakpoints? And then it just scales in between.
Yeah.
It's nice. Really, it's neat stuff. So I'll show a bunch of that.
Happy day. Cry, like literally just tears of happiness right now.
Well, Jason, for the people that couldn't make it out to the conference for some reason, and maybe their office didn't have the time, do you mind providing any kind of takeaways that people might want to get from, you know, they didn't get a chance to, or won't get a chance to see you?
Well, one, follow the conference hashtag, because there will be a link to my talk. So you'll be able to view it on the web.
Oh, that's great.
So caveats, it's meant to be shown in a 16:9 screen. I'm not going to spend that much time making the whole thing responsive, but runs really well in Firefox. The animation's a little choppier in the other browsers, but it's all perfectly viewable. So you can really see a lot of stuff in action there. On my website, rwt.io, I've got all of my talks, all the videos, tons of resources for me and from lots of other people in the industry. So
that's
I've tried to kind of focus that as the place to find anything and everything that I can help share. And then I've got articles coming out on UXPA, in Type Magazine, the Mozilla Developer Network. So there's plenty of places for you to learn about variable fonts and what you can do with them.
That's great.
So excited.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm like, I'm so excited. Very happy.
You got anything else?
No, I'm just going to try all the things all the time now. I'm going to be on CodePen for the next 45 minutes. No big deal.
Yeah, as I suggest you do too. Jason, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks everybody. We'll have a lot more coming up.
Bye.
's for consuming the Thunder Nerds. We honestly and sincerely appreciate you watching and or listening to the show. Please subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. Write us a review, kick a few stars our way. And above all else, please remember to send your favorite book suggestions to Brian Hinton.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?